The reading is taken this morning from Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Gwen. Good morning. And good morning, too, to those joining us on Zoom. So let's, as we turn to God's word, let's just pray and ask that he'll speak to us. Father, we do want to say thank you for your word. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to understand it, give us grace to believe it, and strengthen our wills to obey it. And we ask that for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. So let me begin by asking you a personal question. Are you a worrier? Do you find it hard to sleep at night because you're worrying? Are you afraid that you won't have enough to get by? Or are you someone who sails through life without giving those things a second thought? Now, I know that it's true that we are all different when it comes to worry. We have different backgrounds and experiences. We have different personalities and characters. But I suspect there are times when all of us worry. In fact, I confess that I worry far too much. I worry that the car will break down, so I try not to go too far. I worry that the money will run out, so I don't put the heating on. I mean, I know that I shouldn't worry. I know that I should trust these things are in God's hands. But I do. Well, the good news is that Jesus doesn't want us to worry. Do not worry about your life, he says. And Jesus knows what we're like, and he doesn't want us to be anxious about the necessities of life. In fact, he wants to reassure us. You don't need to worry, he says. But how is that possible? After all, the world can be a frightening place. How can we avoid being worried? And I think Jesus asks us two questions in this passage. What do we value and who do we trust? So first of all, what do we value? Do we value the treasures of his heavenly and eternal kingdom. So let me take you back to the previous verses in this chapter. Jesus invites us to choose between treasures on earth and treasure in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, he says, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Because what we own shapes what we love. And that's why Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And the word he uses there is mammon, a word that means money or possessions or wealth of any kind. Jesus tells us that we can't serve both God and mammon. He's talking about our hearts. What are we living for? What's our defining ambition? Is it the wealth that this world offers, money and reputation and comfort? Or is it the true wealth of the kingdom of God? Well, that's the background to the opening words of our passage. Therefore, I tell you, because you cannot serve God and mammon, therefore I tell you, do not be worried about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Because there are two main dangers about wealth. One is that we always want more. It makes us greedy. We make mammon, wealth, our God. We serve it. We become its slaves. And we have to have the latest and the best. But the other is that we always worry about it. It makes us anxious. Have I got enough? Will I be able to pay my bills? And again, we end up serving it. We worry because we seek treasure on earth. So get your heart right, says Jesus. Don't let those things dominate your thinking. Don't spend your time and your energy pursuing them. Don't let them keep you awake at night. But how can we do that in practice? Surely we need to pay the bills. And what about saving for our old age, our retirement? And so Jesus' second question is, who do we trust? Do we trust the care of our loving Heavenly Father? Jesus says there's more to life than material things. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Now, he is not saying that food and clothes don't matter. He's not saying that we should eat as little as possible and only wear clothes from the charity shop. He's not saying that we shouldn't care for the poor and needy, because God uses us to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked. Nor is he saying that we shouldn't work or plan for the future. We all have responsibilities, and it's right to provide for our families. It's right, too, to enjoy the good things that God has given us. Everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, says Paul. But Jesus says there is more to life than what you eat and what you wear. We are not just physical bodies to be fed, watered, and clothed. And therefore, there is no need to worry about those things. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses. That's not what matters in the light of eternity, says Jesus. But then he says, we have a Father who loves us passionately. Look at the birds, he says. Now, some of you know that I'm a birder, that I take any opportunity I can to go bird watching. And therefore, you could argue that I'm doing what Jesus told me to do. Look at the birds. Well, Jesus reminds us that birds don't sow so that they have enough to eat. And they don't gather food in barns in order to provide for the times when it's hard and there is insufficient food in the fields. But our Heavenly Father still feeds them. And if God cares for them, which he does, then how much more will he care for us? We're the one he loves. We're the ones who have been made in his image. We are of far, far greater value than the birds. So why don't we trust him? But we're not just to be birders, we're also to be botanists. See how the flowers of the field grow, he says. They don't work to clothe themselves with beautiful garments. They don't spend hours in front of the mirror putting on their makeup. But not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if God clothes them like that, which he does, and if they're here today and gone tomorrow, which they are, then how much more will he clothe us? Because we're the ones he made to know him. So why don't we trust him? Jesus wants us to learn from creation. God takes delight in everything he's made. He cares for the birds and the flowers. But he loves us far, far more. In fact, he'd rather look at me than look at a golden eagle. And he'd rather look at you than look at a giant panda. I think that's amazing. I mean, Jesus didn't die for the missel thrush and the German sheepdog. He died for you and me. God isn't their father, he's our father. So if he provides for them, how much more will he provide for us? And that's why we don't need to be anxious. But then Jesus says, we're to be different. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Now, the pagans, or the Gentiles, are unbelievers. They don't know the Father's love. They live as if this world is all there is. So it's not surprising that they run after all these things. If we're overworking, perhaps it's because we don't value the treasures of our eternal home. Or perhaps we don't trust the care of our Heavenly Father. Tim Chester says, we overspend because we fear missing out. And we overwork because we fear for the future. But disciples are to be different. If we worry, then we're acting like unbelievers. We're denying that God loves us. We want to be those who run after the kingdom of God, not after these things. Because our Father cares for us, we're free to put first his kingdom and his righteousness. And I think that's an important part of our witness to our non-Christian friends. They should be able to look at us and see our contentment. We're not always worrying about money. We're not constantly looking for more. And that should make people stop and think. The world says, worry about tomorrow. Jesus says, trust God today. And so finally, Jesus says, worry is a waste of time. Kate showed me a meme the other day. 99% of the things I worry about don't happen. So worrying works. But of course it doesn't. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, says Jesus. And Jesus knows that we're going to have troubles in this world. Yes, there may be food shortages. Our clothes may have holes in them, but worrying won't change that. The Apostle Paul could say he'd learned to be content in every situation. He knew what it was to be in need, and he knew what it was to have plenty. He was content whether he was well fed or hungry. He was content whether he was living in plenty or in want. And that's a lesson that Jesus wants us to learn. There's no guarantee that we will be spared suffering, and worrying won't change that. But Paul learned that he could be content through Christ, who gave him strength. His heart was fixed on Jesus. We worry because we doubt our Heavenly Father. But Jesus tells us he is a faithful, faithful God who can be trusted. And we need to let him fill our hearts. Because the more satisfied we are with him, the less we will want all these other things. In John Piper's words, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Christ is our contentment. So Jesus wants us to bring our cares to the Father, to pray, your kingdom come, to pray, give us today our daily bread. To quote Tim Chester again, by doing so, you are handing over your worries to your Heavenly Father. His business becomes your concern, and your concerns become his business. So I began by saying, I'm a worrier. Not a chronic worrier like some people. But it stops me doing things that I'd like to do. And I need to take Jesus' teaching to heart. I need to store up treasure in heaven and trust my Father's care. Life is about a relationship with God, and God is utterly committed to us. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to conquer worry in a day. We are still imperfect human beings, and our trust goes up and down. And I don't want you to feel condemned if you falter. But we can all make progress. We can learn to be content like Paul. We can learn to store up treasures in heaven. We can learn to trust our Father's care. And we can learn to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And he will. Let's pray. And maybe just in a moment or two of silence, let's bring those cares, those worries to God. The things that make us anxious, that stop us sleeping. Let's name them in the presence of God, in the silence of our heart. Gracious Lord, we confess before you that we do worry. We do become anxious. But thank you for Jesus' words of reassurance that he doesn't want us to worry, that we don't need to worry. Gracious Lord, by your Spirit, help us to take those words to heart. To seek first your kingdom, storing up treasure in heaven, and to trust you, our faithful Heavenly Father. Give us grace, we pray, and deliver us from worry, for your great name's sake.